and to be firm and patient in times of pain and suffering and adversity. People will come against you. Sometimes your best friends will come against you. People that you thought would never turn on you will turn on you, and that's hard to take. But we have to remember that our life and our strength is not our relationship with men and women and boys and girls, but with this Quran and with the Sunnah of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon it. Turn to that and renew your spirit. Oh, yes. Go on about your constructive work. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Such people, they are the God-fearing. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. They are the people who have صَدَقُوا. They are the people who have proven true. They have proven themselves to be true, to be just and true. Yes. So there are many who will claim to be right. Many will claim righteousness. Many will claim to be true and just. But if they don't meet these requirements, then they are not to be recognized as the person who met those requirements. Those are the ones that we can verify. Yes. You have proved true. So if anyone is tolerating the injustice in the society, claiming themselves to be righteous, but you walk past injustices and you don't do anything, you don't respond, buddy, you are not righteous. Your righteousness is very small. Huh? Your righteousness is thin. Your righteousness is cosmetic. Yeah. But those people who fulfill these requirements in this one verse on righteousness, once they meet those requirements, he has met it in his relationship with his God, he has met it in relationship with the family at home, he has met it in relationship with the stranger in the street, huh? And then trouble and adversity came against him would make any man just fall down and give up. But he stood up, he still, because he has faith in God, now has proven true. So we can bear witness that this man is righteous. His righteousness has proven true. Such are the people of truth, the God-fearing. God-fearing. So you say you really have taqwa? If you really have taqwa and you really have truth, you're really a just person and you fear God, then it should manifest in your life and the way you live. That's the verse on righteousness. One verse. Praise be to Allah. Again, from same chapter, chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, the verse 58. And remember, we said, who we? God. But when he speaks, everything in obedience to him bears witness. And everything serves his will. Huh? So like a ruler who speaks for his kingdom, he says, we will put you in jail. Now he don't do it with his hands, but he can start the thing put the thing in motion. He will put it in motion. And it will be his order that brings it about. With God, he has complete control in everything. And remember, we said, enter this town and eat of the plenty therein as you wish. But enter the gate with humility, in posture and in word, and we shall forgive you your faults and increase the portion of those that do good. See, you never can get away from the moral requirement. God is saying, you want to be the possessors of rich cities? Or you want to share in the riches of great cities? Aren't we people who need to get in? We're physically present in such cities as New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, but we are not really in. Now, you might have one or two in, but as long as you are not represented as a group on the inside, in the power, in the responsibility, in the authority, etc., in the things that really matter and of great consequences, if you are not in there as a group, then the one that is in there from among you is in there as a representative of other people and not you. They're not right around. If we don't have any command, any power, any authority, any influence that can be brought to bear from economic standpoint, from economic standpoint, from moral standpoint, from educational standpoint, from any standpoint, if we don't have one that we can stand upon and have command there, be an equal influence and an equal bargaining power there, then whoever we have there from among us, he is only a representative of them, though we call him our representative. Yes! When he speaks, he can't speak on the strength of us. When he speaks, he has to speak on the strength of the things that they have approved. So he said, hey, the law says this. The law says this. Oh, I got people who vote for you. And you owe them this. He doesn't have the strength. That strength is an appeal. That strength depends on their mercy. Depends on their goodness. So they don't have to recognize the law. They can say, hey, well, I got your vote. I'll wait and see what happens next time. So it depends upon the goodness of the person. Depends upon the law, what has been written. And the law is uncertain. Yes, the law is uncertain. Same people that made it can change it. Forces that be made it. Forces that be can change it. Yes? Okay, so you're not standing upon you're not in a situation wherein you're represented by your own strength or the strength of your people. But when people stand up to a representative, to a mayor, or governor, or president, or whoever, and they are representing a group of people with money, with investment. They're representing a group of people that whose labor or possessions are both of them account for the order staying intact, for the processes continuing, for the business continuing, for the good future being there. Oh, when they stand up, it's different. Because they're represented. They are really represented. So they will stand up and they will say, They don't have to take no thought. They don't have to take no back mouth, back talk. They say, look, okay, I represent such and such people. And here's what they mean to this town. Now, you either respect us or you're going to suffer. We're going to get you out of office, or we will pull the props to support out from under you. Huh? And consequences like that brings about the response that is decent. Huh? And you get a decent response. All right. So you have to understand that we are people on the outside. I don't care how present we are in the cities of America or wherever we are people still on the outside. We're inside as far as getting recognition under the law. We're inside. But in the real practical sense, we're outside. Because we don't have possessions that are of real significance. So we're on the outside. The medical profession, we're not even recognized in the medical profession or any other profession to be a threat to the profession. Right? If we pull out, we ain't hurt nobody. Pull out all the black doctors. You ain't hurt nobody. You haven't heard medicine. Hell no. And the white man, we thought we had a hold on in the work field. But the white man put us all on welfare. He said, you ain't heard nothing. Your island nest doesn't stop this country from going. Idle fracker, all of us. Some places 60% and 70% unemployment. And they ain't talking about those who've never been listed for employment. They talking about those who just have a job record. Yeah, a lot of us don't understand that. We hear they talking about so many percentage unemployment. We think they talking about all of us. They talking about just those that have had a job record. And most of us have not had a job record. They never worked for nobody. They never had a job. You have to fill out an application and put your employment in. He's a shame. Because all he did was work for a drink or a hamburger. And when he got enough money for that, he said goodbye to the employer. Yeah, just one paycheck. Just one paycheck, and okay, goodbye. So he ain't got no job record. He wasn't there long enough to go on the book. So he ain't even counted in the job market. He ain't even counted in the statistics. He's not counted. Or you have to be there long enough to have insurance, Social Security. Social Security count, you see. Now, we want to get in. Most of us want to get in. How are you going to get in? You want to be successful, you want to get in? Enter humbly. Our people ain't got nothing. And when they want to protest or make a claim, or they stand up just like, you know, if you don't respond to them, they you know, they couldn't cut off the life of America. these people mean what they're saying, and they're really organized, and they're determined. Say, shoot, if you don't do something about these people, if you don't know them, they won't do something about these people's complaints. They may cut the life of America off. They can't keep a candle burning. I'm not talking about all of us. I'm talking about the people. Our people as a race, can't keep a candle burning. Am I right or wrong? If you take a business of 25 people and you look at that business and you find that that business has been operating in the deficit, no profit, all deficit. No profit. And that business has been doing that for a generation. It has been doing it for a long time. It has consistently operated without a profit. Not a member is sustained of that cooperation or that business is sustained by what it has produced. When we study the business, we find that donation, gifts, etc., have made it possible for them to operate, and at no time were they able to operate without that kind of help. And at no time did a combination of them or one of them produce enough to take them out of that situation. Then you would have to say that that group was a financial failure. Huh? Were financial dependent on outsiders or others, huh? As a race, we have never sustained ourselves by our own efforts and labor. When we were a community of slaves, our work was profitable, but it was forced. It was forced. So we don't get credit for it, the slave driver gets the credit for it. We were productive under the slave driver. Then when the slave driver freed us, from that time on, we haven't been productive. We've been asking for more and more charity as time has progressed. To the point where we got such a reputation for asking for charity that they labeled us the welfare people. Huh? The welfare people. That's what they have labeled the African-American man, or the African-American family, the race, the welfare people, the welfare generation. And now you can go among these, to house of the African-American people. It is hard to find a house that is employed and sustained by the employment. Hard. You'll find so many on welfare, you just give up. Right? That's the situation. And the ones ain't on welfare, they're in crime. Citizens. So we have progressed in many ways, but as a people, we haven't yet stood up on our own feet. We haven't yet acquired the dignity, the community dignity, that other ethnic groups have acquired. We don't have that community dignity. The poor Haitians came here and we were crying tears when we heard about that situation. But in no time, they have gotten the economic dignity. Huh? In no time. Ain't nobody crying the blues for the Haitians anymore. Haitians making money. The news came on the television of the Cubans that were released by Castro's regime. Castro's government. I don't like to call it a regime. His government is better than ours. I respect it. I'm talking about the Negro's government. I ain't talking about the United States. I don't want you to think I'm talking about the United States. I'm talking about the Negro's government. His government is much better than the Negro's government. And I ain't make no mistake. Don't think that's a mistake. Amen. It's black, not Negro. No, I know. I'm saying Negro with a conscience. But anyway, those people that he released from prison, from mental institutions, they have come over here from jailhouses and mental institutions. They have come over here and and just took them a city. Say, Miami. Hello there. And put Miami in their pocket. And we've been here for 400 years. During the 200 or 300 years of slavery, we had a lot of opportunity to watch the ways of the white man, to study his ways, so when we got free, we would be able to deal with him, compete with him. So we had 200 or 300 years to study the white man. Here, those people never was close enough to observe the white man. They ain't had a chance of studying him to see his strong side, his weak side, his strong points, his weak points. Huh? They haven't had a chance to do that.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.